Everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Daphne.
And I'm Penny.
This episode, we're covering the first half of season one of the new Showtime show, Yellow Jackets. This show took us all by surprise. It busted out of nowhere, and we have all become fixated on it. We hadn't planned on doing a podcast on Yellow Jackets, but it grabbed the attention of so many of us here at Podcastica that we couldn't resist. So today we will be covering the first five episodes, and then starting next week, we will be covering each episode weekly with a rotating crew of hosts. Next week, I won't be on, but our friend Alex Baelish will be hosting. So in this episode, we'll talk a little about what the show is and why we like it so much.
We'll be mostly non-spoilery in that segment, so if you haven't seen the show, you could listen to us during that part, and then decide if it sounds like something you'd want to watch along with us.
And then we'll go into more details about the five episodes that have aired so far and what stood out to each of us about each episode.
So this is going to be really hard because how do we talk about why we like this show without spoiling it?
Yeah, I definitely think that this is going to be really difficult because some of what's really awesome about the show is in the little details. So trying to pick out those details and share them, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, I think this is a show that has even more sensitivity about spoilers than any show I'm watching otherwise, because it's full of surprises and twists.
It reminds me a lot. I know there's been a lot of comparisons to Lost.
Yes.
And I think this isn't a huge spoiler in that it does involve an airplane crash, just like Lost does. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about movies about castaways or stranded that really, I mean, that's the story that has fixated humankind for a long time. Swiss Family Robinson and shows like that.
Love that one.
That yeah, very interesting. But at the same time, it sort of reminded me of True Detective, if anybody had watched that. Like, it's a very deliberate, mysterious. Every episode you watch, you want to know more than you started out with. You can't stop. Wait, I want all the answers to my questions.
And they're not giving them to you. They're giving you little nuggets to tide you over. And for me, it feels like I'm putting together a puzzle, but just kind of the outside right now, like not the middle pieces yet. It's just setting the stage for what's coming down the road.
And I think this is like an ultimate water cooler show in that this show, more than any others, is like, I need someone to talk about this show with. I know Daphne had said that there was a thread with a bunch of other people on it, and they were discussing the show after episode four, and I couldn't wait to get to that point so I could talk about it with other people.
It kind of started and grew very quickly. Like, it was me, and then Penny, and then other people started watching and joining in, and I honestly was just so happy to have someone to talk about it with, because it's so detailed and deep that you have to put things together, and talking with other people and talking it out helps you be able to process and figure out what's going on. I think I've always been drawn to the types of shows like this that make you think about what's happening and trying to put those pieces together. When I saw the original ad, I was not super excited about it, but once it got closer to it being released and more promotional materials came out, I just got much more excited.
I actually never saw any ads for it. And The only thing I knew about it was that somebody had said that it was dark. And then I flipped into it on Showtime and saw that Melanie Lynskey was in it. And I just adore her. So I was like, oh, I'll see what this is. And the pilot, like right off the bat, just sucks you right in.
Yeah, this isn't a show that you need to watch 3 or 4 episodes to get into.
No, I think you know by episode one. And I think this is one of the stronger pilots that I've seen more recently.
So I read that the pilot actually was filmed before the pandemic started, like in November 2019. And I think the whole thing just got delayed and pushed off because of the pandemic. I'm so glad it wasn't one of these pandemic
casualties,
victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this definitely needed to come to light.
Absolutely. I think it also reminds me a little bit of Alive, which is a movie from the early 90s, as well as Lord of the Flies. But not the like complete essence of it. I feel like it's parts and pieces mixed together.
I agree.
I'm trying to figure out, is it more like Lost? Is it more like this? What's it more like? And I think right now it just is what it is. And I'm enjoying figuring out what the heck is going on. And I'm super stoked that the three of us are here today to talk about it and see, you know, what you guys have found out from watching the first 5 episodes.
It looks like most of the episodes after the pilot were filmed in Canada, which makes sense. Vancouver and British Columbia. Yeah, it looks great. Anything else before we get into the spoilery parts?
Well, I wanted to say a note about the casting. I think they did a remarkable job of finding teenage or young actresses and to match with the, you know, the older actresses who are playing the present day characters. I'm constantly stunned by the young Misty actress.
Sammy Hanratty.
Yes. Yeah. She's phenomenal. And she and Christina Ricci, it's like they are separated at birth. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's great.
I feel the same way about the actress who plays the young Shauna as well.
Yeah.
I think they do an amazing job. They're all so good. And I did read that they casted the young actress who plays Nat without ever meeting her in person and before they casted Juliette Lewis. So I think that was an amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, because I think they do a good job, too.
Yeah, those two are amazing in both timelines.
I think there was...
And the acting just makes this show. It's so strong. The acting is so strong.
I think having the characters look so similar in the teenage to adult looks, it helps so that there's not a disconnect when you're flipping from one to the other. You know exactly who it is. That isn't always the case with some of the shows that have like flashbacks. With this one, it's pretty incredible. I think the best one absolutely is Sophie Nalisse, who plays the teenage Shauna. Her resemblance to Melanie Lynskey, I mean, she could be her daughter.
And even her characterizations, like she's kind of still and quiet a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, you just reading her face, both young and old.
Yes.
Shauna.
Yeah. There's a lot about Shauna. She's very mysterious. But I have a feeling some of that might come out when we talk about the episodes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to warn everybody about spoilers. If you have not watched the first 5 episodes of Yellowjacket, stop what you're doing. And get busy binging this show. Trust me, you will not be sorry. But we will be talking about all of the episodes and everything that happens in them. So, spoilers be warned.
Absolutely. They are coming.
All right. So, the first one is episode 1, which is just named Pilot. All right. Penny, you want to go first?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, the pilot... Well, we didn't really talk about the premise, but the show is about a high school soccer team, and they're called the Yellow Jackets. So the Yellow Jackets are planning a trip to Seattle for the national tournament. It's 1996. They are, you know, a championship team. The girls are very aggressive and skilled athletes. During a practice, Thaisa, who has earlier voiced some concern that one of the players is not up to par, tackles that player, and she's a freshman on the team. The rest of them are apparently seniors, and the girl's leg breaks. Her name is Allie, and, you know, it's pretty traumatic for the whole team, but for some reason, they all go to a party that night anyway. And at the party, Shauna says Allie can no longer travel to Seattle to participate in nationals because of her injury. Shauna also tries to start a fight with Thaisa at the party, but Jackie, who's the soccer team captain, stops them. And then other things happen at the party. And then on the next day, they go on the trip. They board a private plane that one of the girls' father has chartered for them, Lottie's father. And the plane crashes and leaves the survivors stranded in the wilderness, which we later find out is for 19 months. During that time, some members join forces or something. It's very heavily implied that they resort to cannibalism. It's not clear. And then the show jumps between 96 and 2021 and the adult survivors. And so we see adult Shauna approached by a journalist interested in the survival story, and Shauna summarily dismisses her. We also see that Thaisa is running for public office. Misty is employed as a nurse, and Natalie has just gotten out of rehab and says she's going to reconnect with some old friends.
Yes.
And what we're going to do, because we're covering five episodes in this podcast, is we're each going to give our top 2 points for each episode. And then any notes that we have, because we have a lot of feelings and thoughts about this show, so we may need to get a little bit more out. So, Daphne, you want to go first with your number one?
Absolutely. First, I just want to say I don't think they held back on this episode. They showed us the meat of the matter with the first opening scene. And one of the things I noticed is there seems to be this leadership struggle between Jackie and Thaisa. I feel like Thaisa would like to be the captain, but the coach has selected Jackie. And I feel like there is that tension between the two of them. And I also feel like there's tension between Shauna and Jackie, because Jackie is under this impression that she and Shauna are going to go to Rutgers, and yet Shauna has a letter accepting her. She's going to Brown. Like, she's been accepted at Brown. That's a very different direction. And so I feel like we're seeing the tension in the group before the plane crash. And so that was something that I feel like is going to, it's going to lead into something down the road. I think those dynamics are definitely going to build to something. And I think also with Shauna having some fun with Jeff, who happens to be Jackie's boyfriend, I think we're definitely going to see some of this play out later on when some of these secrets start to come out, which they always do. So I'm expecting we're going to see it later on.
I'll just springboard off of your point, because one of mine was Shauna and Jackie. At first, in the first episode, I thought maybe Shauna was in love with Jackie. But as the episodes progressed, I think more is that she was jealous and resentful of her. Jackie was wealthy. She was the team captain. She had the boyfriend that Shauna appears to want. And Jackie, although she seems like a sweet girl, she also was bossing Shauna around. She was telling her what to wear. She was telling her the colors they were going to decorate their dorm room, again, assuming that they're going to go to Rutgers together. At one point, she made them drop Jackie off at her house first, even though Shauna's house was closer. She seems a bit self-centered, and she kind of assumes that Shauna is cool with all that, when in reality, Shauna doesn't appear to be cool with all of that.
I think Jackie's a little entitled. Like, mm-hmm. she's had a privileged life.
Yeah.
She's had probably a lot less obstacles than Shauna, and a heck of a lot less obstacles than some of the other girls. Mm-hmm. And I think she doesn't really understand things from their point of view because she hasn't had some of those struggles. And
she seems used to getting her own way.
Yes. Agreed.
And it's not clear to me that she's even aware of other people's struggles. She seems very much like in her own head, in her own space.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. Penny, what is your first point?
I just wanted to point out that at one point we see Lottie being given some medication by a maid. Her parents are nowhere to be seen in this giant mansion she lives in. The medication is called Loxapine. It's an antipsychotic, usually prescribed for schizoaffective disorder, which is, you know, Hollywood's favorite mental illness. It's used to reduce aggression, self-harm, violence, and hallucinations.
This is a great point. I think Daphne thought it was hilarious that it, when we were talking about it, and I was like, oh no, that's for schizophrenia. I paused it and looked it up.
I love it. It just means you're in it just as deep as I am. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I had to know.
And so all those side effects that you just mentioned are things we might look forward to in the future.
Definitely.
Yeah. If you have any reason to abruptly stop taking a medication like Loxapine, all of your symptoms come rushing back, worse than they were before, more unpredictably, more erratically, as well as apparently uncontrolled muscular movements.
Wow.
That's going to be fun.
I think that definitely leads me down a path that we'll talk about maybe a little bit later as far as who I think was running in the woods.
Yeah. That cold open is just everything. Yeah.
It is.
And it's so beautifully photographed in the snowy woods at night. And then the sort of contrast of the palm fronds and the spikes and the snow and the jagged limbs of the girl and blood. It's really fantastic.
Mm-hmm. All right, Daphne, how about your second point?
My second point is we get to see this group at the end, or at the beginning and then at the end, after their what I'm calling a ceremony girl, which we're not 100% sure who it is actually who's running. Everyone online seems to have a theory. I have my own, which I think Penny and Wendy have theirs as well. But our little tribal group, they're sitting around their campfire. There are only 7 of them there. There is the leader. And then we know one of them is Misty. And then there are 5 others. A lot more survived the plane crash. We have seen only, at this point in this episode, 4 survivors from the larger group.
Plus we know Travis survived.
Plus we know that Travis survived.
Right.
So this group here, with the 7, I'm questioning, was there a split into 2 groups? What caused the split? So it's kind of, I have a question. Like, I'm not really sure. What I'm guessing or what I'm thinking is there was a split between the groups. This is one of them, and we haven't seen anything of the other group yet. We have seen glimpses of the camp life post-crash, but not to the extent of this where we have them having a cannibalistic ritual by eating one of their former friends.
That is one of my points, is we talked about why has this show hooked us so completely. And I think this is it. because in that first episode, they give us so much, but yet there's so many unanswered questions. You know, how does this group of teenagers go from worrying about winning their next game, high school problems, boyfriends, to becoming murderers and cannibals? I mean, right there, I'm in.
Yeah.
I need to see that. I need to see that story.
I'm with you guys. I want to know what happened to cause this, because it seems like there was a split. And I do have some points about the split later on once we get to one of the other episodes, so I don't want to go too deep into it. But that is my second point.
Penny, what's your second point?
So we know that there are 5 survivors in 2021 so far. At one point, adult Shauna and adult Thaisa meet. And Shauna asks Thaisa to take care of the reporter because she thinks the reporter is reacting to Thaisa running for public office. And she says, you know, have you talked to Nat? And Thaisa says, oh, Nat's in rehab. And Shauna says something about Misty. And then Shauna asks Thaisa, any sign of the others? And Thaisa says, not for months. And we never get any more about that in this episode. I have no idea what it means, but it was so tantalizing to me. Like, not for months? So
who are the others? Like, who was she referring to?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I really want to know.
And Travis could be one of them, but we just don't know.
And are Thaisa and Shauna part of this group? The ritual group. I guess that's kind of what I'm going to call them, is the ritual group. I'm just not sure. Like, I'm trying to figure out, based on what they've given us at the beginning, what we've seen so far, how or who might be in that group. And other than Misty, which we know, I'm just not sure.
I have a feeling it's going to be revealed very slowly, which is cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
Me too.
Like one at a, you know, and it'll be a huge reveal.
Yeah. I feel like they're giving us little nuggets.
Uh-huh.
Just enough to keep us interested and just at the time that they want to give it to us. We're,
mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be at the right time. I mean, it's all coming together so well.
It's beautiful. The show is really dense. It's not like there's any moments in the show where I'm like, get past this and get to the good stuff. Like, it's all good stuff.
I agree. I'm mesmerized the whole time.
I feel like everything was constructed in a way to continue and build the story, and that the dialogue and the scenes that we're given are all, they're just all interwoven and connected, and it just drives everything forward. You just may not realize it at the time that you're watching it, that they're answering a question that you haven't even come up with yet.
Yeah, yeah. Or that you don't know is important until 2 episodes from now.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no filler in this so far.
Yeah, definitely not.
Any notes about episode 1?
I just noticed something, and I only noticed it when I watched it the second time. At one point, adult Shauna is masturbating in her teenage daughter's bedroom.
Yes.
That's the first scene of adult Shauna. She's masturbating in her teenage daughter's bedroom to pictures of her teenage daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah, and she's really lackluster about it. Like, the look on her face is not one of joy or pleasure.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a note. Shauna is not living the Brown life she imagined, meaning she was supposed to go to Brown. And then we see her doing that. We also see her talking, I think it's Jeopardy, and she's answering the questions, and whoever is answering them on the TV got it wrong, but Shauna knew what it was. So you get the impression that she's super smart, and she's got this life.
Yeah.
Incidentally, she's married to Jeff.
Yes.
So you have to wonder about that.
Right. She doesn't seem like there's a lot of joy in her life.
No. Not at all.
I also thought, like, she's... You can tell right off the bat, there's just something off about her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I didn't get that feeling from her when they show us the teenage Shauna. you get that she is not happy with some parts of her life and a little bit over it with some things. There's just this thing about her that is, it just, it draws your attention and you can't, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it is, she's just, something happened to her. Or she did something that has changed her life forever.
And this is why I love Melanie Lynskey so much. She's a very subtle actor. She does a lot with body language and facial expressions. And she has this, like, surprisingly gentle voice. And it has so much pathos behind it. I just adore watching her.
She's great. She was meant for this role.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Heavenly Creatures?
Yes, I have. That's the first movie I saw her in.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That was her
film.
Start. Yeah. It's an amazing, amazing movie. On Netflix, anybody out there who wants to watch it, I recommend it.
I feel like that was one of Peter Jackson's first films that he did.
Yeah, it was one of his, it was like his second feature, I think.
Yeah. It's very well done. Very intriguing and twisted.
Yeah. And a true story.
And a true story. The bat.
It's also Kate Winslet's first role.
Great. Daphne, any other notes?
The only other thing I wanted to point out is this is where we see Jackie give her heart necklace, which is something we saw in the opening. The girl that's running is wearing the heart necklace. I have a feeling we're going to be watching this necklace go from person to person a little bit.
That's what I was thinking.
I was comparing it in my head to the yellow umbrella on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think we're going to see this go from person to person. So Jackie has given her necklace to Shauna while they're on the plane, and also she gave her Valium.
And I think she took Valium as well, right?
Yeah, they were both out of it.
Yeah.
Probably better that way, considering everything that was happening around them at the time. But yeah, that's pretty much all that, those are my main points. That's all I have for notes.
The only other note I have about this one is that this is a sports team, and I think that when you have a sports team full of, you know, kids, it's a different dynamic than a typical friend group. It's a different friendship. These aren't the people that you kind of chose or you gravitated towards. These are people that are brought together because you're all on the team. And then you become bonded based on your shared experiences of playing together.
Yes.
So these are very different kids. You know, they have very different backgrounds, different issues and problems. And I think this isn't your typical, like, group of girls that grew up together and are friends by choice. And I think you see that in kind of the complicated push-pull relationship a lot of them have with each other.
And I think also when they show the montage of them getting ready to go and board the plane, you see the different home lives that some of the kids have. And it's very different. So you can tell that they're coming from different backgrounds, different experiences, different challenges. And then they're all going on this chartered aircraft to go to the national championships.
All right. We'll start our second episode, which is called F Sharp. Daphne, do you want to read the synopsis for us?
I will. So in this episode, we got to see Misty use her advanced knowledge of first aid as she was providing care to those that were injured in the plane crash. She was able to save Ben's life by amputating and cauterizing his leg. Oh, it was so mangled. Her and the axe. That's a point. Travis discovers that his father is dead and by finding his body impaled on a tree branch. Misty is in a different role than she's used to because she's an essential part of the team. And then she does something that's actually pretty stupid by destroying the plane's flight recorder after she finds it. Because she overhears some girls talking about how they really need her and how important it is that she's been able to do the things that she's been able to take care of the team. She has the skill set. as Alex would say, she took 2 babysitting classes, I think is what she had said. In 2021, we see Shauna and her husband, Jeff, getting advice from their therapist to rekindle some passion in their relationship by exploring sexual fantasies, which does not come as easy as since Jeff is possibly cheating, and Shauna met Adam, a very intriguing stranger, whom she rear-ended and who pretty much flirted with her on top of his generous offer for free car repair. Meanwhile, Natalie holds Misty at gunpoint to find out who sent her a postcard with an ambiguous symbol, a symbol that we've all, the three of us, gotten used to seeing at different times on the show. When it becomes clear that all women have received the same card, Misty and Natalie embark on a road trip to find Travis, while Thaisa is concerned about the disturbing drawings that her 5-year-old son, Sammy, has been making. At least I think he's 5. He's young. He's definitely young. All of these episodes are just so packed. And as Penny said, they're very, very dense.
Penny, you want to give us your first point?
Yeah. At one point, Shauna, frustrated that her daughter didn't take frozen meat out of the freezer for dinner, kills a rabbit in the garden and guts it on her kitchen counter and puts it in the stew. There is something about Shauna and rabbits. She collects ceramic bunnies. This is all we know so far, but I feel like rabbits is going to come into play later on.
Yeah. I don't think this is the first time that she has used these carving skills.
Yeah. Daphne?
Okay, so my first point is Shauna and Jackie leaving the plane, and Jackie actually pulling Shauna out of the plane, leaving Vanessa, aka Van, to die. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, Jackie didn't seem, to me, she seemed like a better person than that. But her, I feel later on, this is going to come to play. I feel like Vanessa is, maybe they can patch things up, but I think Vanessa is always going to hold on to this.
Yeah.
I think Jackie loves Shauna very much and thinks Shauna is like her soulmate best friend forever. And so when she saw Shauna trying to save Vanessa, she panicked and she was like, no, we have to get out of here, because Shauna was just so much more important to her than anything else. And Vanessa lives, and so of course she's resentful of it.
Absolutely. I just think it might come into play later on, because I think there are just these dynamics that we're starting to see in these first 5 episodes that you don't see in episode 1, but it starts to build throughout. And you start to question, and in, you know, as I've already said, one of my biggest questions is, who are the, you know, in addition to Misty, who are the other 6 people that are in this group?
And Vanessa seems like a pretty strong-willed character. We haven't seen as much about her, and obviously we haven't seen a grown-up Vanessa.
Right.
We haven't seen as much from her, but, like, she seems pretty aggressive and strong-willed. She was the goalie. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she also seemed really disturbed and upset when Allie broke her leg in the first episode.
Yes.
Like, she was visibly shaken and ill by that. So I would love to see more about Vanessa.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I agree.
And that actor is really riveting. I just cannot get enough of their performance.
She was in Santa Clarita Diet. She was amazing. Hilarious. That's well worth watching. It's just light and funny and hilarious, well written, acted, great. We do see Vanessa and Thaisa embrace after Vanessa gets out of the plane. And on first watch, I didn't think anything of that. But on second watch, you could see, like, they were hesitant about it, but they were, like, touching each other. They were, you know, Thaisa was really shaken, you know, and so relieved that Vanessa was okay. So my thoughts on this episode was mostly about Misty.
Oh, poor Misty.
Misty has been, they have a flashback. She's been bullied in her formative years, which was like 4 years ago, which would be when she was probably like 14. No, even younger than that. Yeah,
like 12 or 13. Like,
yeah. So you can see she's on the sidelines as an assistant of the team. She's awkward and nerdy and desperately wants to fit in and belong. When the plane crashes, she suddenly finds that she's valued and needed. And she's thriving off of this. You know, she took the Red Cross babysitter training class twice.
I don't think they teach you to cauterize wounds.
Apparently,
I didn't know that was covered.
I thought, like, I'm a nurse, and I was just thinking, like, yeah, if somebody had an injury, my first reaction would not be to pick up an axe.
Definitely not.
And chop it off. Especially, she didn't tourniquet it first.
No.
She chopped it off first.
What was left of it. So, there really wasn't very much left.
There wasn't. I will say that's right. But it's pretty clear from the beginning that Missy's wicked smart, but she's unhinged.
Just a bit.
And that, yeah, and then we see that at the end of the episode, she makes the decision to destroy the black box signal, which diminishes their chances of being rescued. I wondered if anybody ever finds that out. You know, finds out that she did that.
I do wonder about it because I don't see her telling anyone. Like, I can't imagine that she would let anyone know that she is responsible.
She seems pretty self-contained, you know, like she's not gonna.
She doesn't trust anyone.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. I mean, she's been bullied. She's had a terrible time. So I wouldn't trust anyone either in that respect.
But you do see there's bad blood between, like, Natalie and Misty, who,
yes,
when she first sees her, Natalie says, "You crazy fucking bitch," which you can understand that she comes off as a crazy fucking bitch, but that seems like a extreme.
Yeah.
She's brandishing the rifle at her. I have a question. Was that the same rifle?
Oh, from the wilderness? I wondered the same thing.
It looked old.
I'm not sure. I feel like we're going to have homework assignment.
Yeah, I know.
And go and compare the two in side-by-side windows to know for sure. Unless one of the listeners out there wants to take care of it for us.
And she's disabling cars willy-nilly to manipulate her situation, grown-up Misty. And she still seems really smart and just totally unhinged. And I wouldn't want to be around her.
Yeah, she is a bit unhinged. I mean, even just her interaction with the patients or the patient that we got to see was enough to know that it's really interesting that she would choose nursing as a profession.
I agree.
Or caretaking as a profession. Even though I think she did enjoy taking care of the assistant coach, I just find it odd that she would pick something where she had to rely on communicating with people that probably hate her.
It's a position of power. You know, you have power over people's lives.
And that, mm-hmm. I think Wendy just answered the question as to why she would pick it.
Right.
Because she likes to have power. I think that's something that we see in future episodes.
And you get people in a vulnerable position and they need you. Whether they like you or not, they need you.
Yeah. I think one of the girls actually said, you know, thank God Misty's here. And that, I think, added to the fire of her wanting to destroy the transponder because
she didn't want to go back to what her life was before.
She wants to be Misty the Savior.
She not wants Misty. To be needed and valued. And
yeah, and she wasn't getting it before.
Or so she planned the plane crash. She is. And she needed to get rid of the evidence.
Oh my goodness. Well, you can't really put anything past it.
I know. Like, you, as the episodes go on, you see what she's capable of. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Penny, what is your next point?
When she's bullied in 1992, the song Hold On by Wilson Phillips is playing in her bedroom. And her response to the bullies on the phone is to say, opinion is the wilderness between knowledge and ignorance. That's Plato. And I just thought it was interesting, the use of the word wilderness, sort of foreshadowing. And then when she finds the flight recorder, they play that song again, extremely loudly. And then when she yanks the like power or whatever it is out of the flight recorder, the song abruptly stops. It was a really interesting and cool moment, I thought.
That's an awesome catch. Now I got to go back and watch this thing. Oh, I'm going to spend the next 5 hours watching the whole thing from the beginning.
I feel like there's so many more things to learn.
Yeah.
One of these times we'll have to have a group watch of some kind so that we can rewatch an episode together.
Oh, and that'd be so fun.
Talk about it. Yeah. Be awesome to get to do it together.
All right, Daphne, what's your next point?
My next point, part of it was Misty being bullied. I didn't have a ton of points for this episode, but the other point that I did have is getting to watch Jeff and Shauna's dynamic throughout this episode continuing on and realizing Shauna thinking Jeff is cheating, not taking Adam up on anything right away and dismissing it, and then going after it. I think, like we said, Shauna has not, she's not having the life she wanted. She wants to have more passion, more excitement in her life. And even though she and Jeff are going through their fantasies, it's not enough.
Oh, and his fantasy is really sad.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very sad.
I mean, he's really boring.
Yes. But that's what she wanted. I mean, she wanted Jeff. When teenage Shauna wanted Jeff.
I think she only wanted him because Jackie had him.
Yeah.
And how she ended up married to him, I assume we'll find out.
I'm looking forward to finding that out. I'm wondering if they bonded over losing Jackie.
I thought it was hilarious when the therapist first asked them to play out a fantasy as sexual homework for the two of them. And immediately Jeff says, awesome. And Shauna simultaneously says, no. I just thought that was hilarious.
Do you think that they may have tried this before and she knew where it was going and that she was like, no, not again. I can't. No, no, he's boring. I can't do this.
I think she's just going through the motions with him. I think there's nothing, and she knows, you could tell, and I even thought that Callie, their daughter, knew when she says dad's working on the inventory database. I think both knew what that meant. It seemed obvious, yeah.
Well, in all TV shows, whenever somebody's working late, it's always an affair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the other point that I had.
Awesome. I think my only other point for this episode is they're all getting these postcards. And who do you think is sending the postcards?
Maybe Misty.
I was thinking it could be Misty, and she's crazy and smart enough to send it to herself as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I was thinking it could be somebody we haven't seen yet.
I did kind of an inventory because I'm trying to figure out, okay, how many people were on the plane? Who do we know died? Who do we know lived? And there are a couple of players that are just credited on IMDb as Yellow Jacket number 1 and Yellow Jacket number 2. And so I know that Yellow Jacket number 2 survived the plane crash, but I'm not sure about Yellow Jacket number 1. I really need to rewatch some of the camp scenes just to know for sure. Mm-hmm. But in looking through, I mean, we know Jackie, Natalie, Shauna, Misty, Akila, who's the girl from JV that got called up to take Allie's place, Lottie, Thaisa, Vanessa, Laura Lee, who is the Christian girl who's always praying, Mari, who is the girl on the plane who kind of teased Akila and called her new blood.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have Travis and Javi, his younger brother. And we know that the assistant coach, I believe it's Ben. If not, I've been calling him.
No, it's Ben. What's his last name? Ben Scott? Because they call him Coach Scott, and then she calls him Ben later.
Yeah, so, yeah. And Ben, we know, survives.
Right.
That's a lot more than the 7, as I said, mm-hmm. that were sitting around that fire. So.
All right. Anybody else have any notes? All right. We'll move on to episode 3, which is called The Dollhouse. I'll go ahead and review the synopsis. 3 days in, Thaisa convinces the group to hike towards a nearby lake. As tensions grow between them, the group discovers an abandoned cabin. At night, Thaisa and Lottie find a dead body in the attic. In 2021, Thaisa's political opponent, Phil Bathurst, airs a campaign ad calling her a cannibal. Thaisa's concerns for Sammy grow as he begins to rebel soon after purposely hurting a child at a playground. Shauna follows her husband to a hotel where she runs into Adam and spots Jeff with another woman. Shauna and Adam share drinks and talk about each other's past and present in veiled terms. They are later shown to go to a hotel room together. Meanwhile, Misty and Natalie find Travis's dead body at a ranch and conclude that someone has murdered him. This was really getting good at this episode. Daphne, you want to go ahead for your first point?
Well, I'm so curious as to what's really going on with Sammy, because he's drawn these strange pictures and they're very creepy. Like, one of the pictures has a bunch of eyes on it. He's also talking about a girl in the tree, and his mother is dismissing it. And it's kind of leading us into this, oh, is it a supernatural thing? Is there some tie-in to what happened at the with the plane crash with his mother? Or is this something completely different? And I'm, questioning, is there someone who climbs in the tree and hangs out there at night? I don't think so, but I'm not really sure. I really want to screenshot and zoom in and look at each of the photos individually. I just haven't done it yet. But I'm curious as to what's really going on with him.
Right. Is it one of the others that we haven't seen yet coming back just to mess with Thaisa?
Yeah. Because it could be, I mean, depending on which group Thaisa was in. Was she part of the 7 or was she in the other group?
And then we have a strange scene with Thaisa recalling when she was much younger, her grandmother was dying, and she saw a vision of some kind of figure of a person with no eyes. Yes. And is she really did that really happen? Or is that just, letting your imagination run away with you? Your grandmother's dying, so that's a pretty heavy situation for a child. Or is that something supernatural that possibly Sammy also has?
Wendy, that's a fantastic point. What if he does have that similar connection and he may be seeing the ghosts of the girls? I mean,
and when I saw that figure in the mirror that Thaisa saw as a little kid, it looked, I might be just reaching, but it looked like Nat's vision of Travis in the first episode when she was high on LSD. Like, his face was all twisted and distorted. And it could just be just the general creepiness of things.
Yeah. Need to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So homework for this team is we need to look at the pictures that are on the wall or on the window that Sammy drew. We also need to go back and actually revisit Mr. Man with No Eyes and see what it actually looks like. Like, build that connection to figure it out.
All right, Penny, how about your next point?
I want to talk about Adam. He happens to be at the hotel that Shauna follows Jeff to. Suspicious. His pursuit of Shauna is aggressive and immediate. Like, she rear-ends him. Mm-hmm. He gets out of the car and he's like, hey, hi, what's up? Like, he's into her really fast and pursues her. And then she drives like a minivan or something. He never asks, like, oh, are you married? Nothing. And then they just, like, go to a hotel room together. It made me wonder if Shauna has done this before. She didn't seem to spend much time being like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. It's cheating. She just, like, went for it.
And he never explained why he was there, did he?
He said, oh, I was just getting a drink or something like that.
Yeah.
At the hotel bar? Yeah. There are how many bars in their area?
Right.
I think, too, she was probably spearheaded once she saw her husband with with Bianca.
I can understand that part of it. Like, she's been suspicious, but now it's confirmed for her.
I gotta say, though, that Jeff and Bianca didn't look like a couple having an affair to me.
No. I'm not sure.
Like, he could have very easily been selling her some furniture, although he thinks that's sexy, so who knows?
And he lied to her because she said, can you pick me up at 4:00? And he lied and said he had to be at the store where he wasn't.
Right, so something's going on, but
Maybe he's throwing her a surprise party.
You know, that's what I was thinking. It's like, maybe he's planning some big thing for her. She's going to be so... I don't know if she'll be devastated. I think there's something in her that might be broken and it can't be fixed.
I don't. Yeah. I think she's just going through the motions with him. She knows. Yeah.
I do agree with you, Penny, about Adam. This all just seems very convenient. I feel like maybe he's been watching her. But why? Is he a detective? Or is he, he works at a body shop or he has a body shop.
My husband is super sus of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is he?
Yeah.
There's a theory on Twitter, at least, that he's Javier or Javi.
I thought that too. I think potentially, maybe, but Javi was so close to
Shauna.
Yeah,
I think they would know each other.
Like, we're seeing the beginnings of them getting closer. So I feel like they would know each other, unless maybe he had plastic surgery.
If I knew somebody a long time ago, I might not recognize them right away. But I would think if I spent that much time with someone, I would know them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think he's sus.
Absolutely. Agreed.
So my point that I had for this one was about Ben, Coach Scott. He really has a full-blown meltdown in this episode, and I think everything's just caught up with him. He's been through a lot. I actually, my nurse brain says, how is he alive? But he's been in a plane crash, and then he had his leg chopped off, and he's very limited to what he can do. The girls are having to take care of him. He's kind of at Misty's mercy. And he just has this full-blown meltdown. I think this probably served to scare the kids even more. He's the adult. He's the chaperone. And here he is really revealing his weakness and screaming out to the world that he wished he was dead. And I think the kids just really now feel like they are on their own. There's really no adults around to help them.
How old do you think his character is?
He looks young.
Yeah, like 23, 25.
I'm thinking, I was thinking like between 20, like 23, 24, 25. Yeah. In that age range.
Not that much older. Yeah.
It's obvious Misty likes him. I mean, earlier on in the other episodes, the way she looks at him. It's not inconceivable that a high school senior would look at someone in their early 20s that way. Because the age difference is not that big.
Yeah, and she's lonely and desperate for love. And, you know, he's very attractive. So, of course, she fixated on him. Makes sense.
Right. Penny, what's your next point?
I just wanted to point out that Lottie's behavior is starting to change noticeably. She's acting weird. The other girls are noticing that she's acting weird, but none of them know why.
And I think we see her get into her pill bottle in this, and I don't think we can see how many are left, but she shakes it, and it's like one or two left. It's not many. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling she didn't take a full bottle. She probably took enough for the trip and maybe one or two extra, and that was it. So it's not going to last.
Yeah, she pours out the bottle at one point. I think it's in episode 2, and there's only like 8 or 9 pills.
Yeah. And my husband said, he's like, well, why wouldn't she tell people, you know, to be looking out for that? And I said, you know, she's a young teenage girl. The stigma for mental illness is so powerful. She wouldn't want anybody to know that. To me, that didn't seem unnatural.
No, I would keep it secret if I were her.
And she's also, at this point, they're also thinking they could be rescued at any time. And I'm sure she doesn't want to go back to her regular life with everyone knowing her secret.
Right, she hasn't told anyone. All right, Daphne?
My other point has to do with Misty and Natalie's adventure. Natalie and Misty arrive at his work after breaking into his house and getting arrested.
That was kind of funny.
Natalie had to call on an old friend to save her. They go to see Travis at work and find him hanging dead. And Natalie is obviously distraught after seeing that. We haven't seen a lot of Natalie and Travis in their relationship or friendship from teenage years, but we're starting to see that in later episodes, and you're starting to see kind of how it started and how they began to kind of grow together. And now I feel like I need to go back and watch this again because I'll understand her reaction even more. I mean, obviously they're going to be upset that a friend has passed away, but there's something between Natalie and Travis, even though we get the impression that they weren't good for each other, there was still this connection between the two of them. I think most of it was built while they were out in the wilderness. So
he might be the only person she actually cares about. I mean, her whole persona is like tough and, you know, I don't care about you and I don't need anybody else and I'm capable and I'm on drugs or whatever. But she really shows concern about Travis, and I think she genuinely loved him.
And me too.
From the call that she makes with Thaisa, it sounds like they had a relationship post-rescue. Did you get that?
Yeah, I got that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just a little nugget in my theories was that I noticed on Travis's table at his house, there was an expensive bottle of whiskey and there were 2 glasses. Yeah. There were 2 glasses. One was empty and one was like had a little bit of whiskey in it. And I thought that was odd. If you're living alone and you're drinking alone, you're not going to have 2 glasses out.
So someone went to see him. Which goes along with what Natalie is thinking and will we'll talk about that when we talk about episode four.
All right. Penny? Any other points?
The only other point is that the reporter who has been interviewing all kinds of people is working for Thaisa, and that she's not really a reporter, I don't think, and she's just testing to make sure nobody's talking about what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that seems like a fucked up thing for Thaisa to do.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, Thaisa's not very likable, either as young person or old, grown-up Thaisa.
Yeah, she's driven and ruthless.
Yes.
Obviously, based on what happens with that.
And her with the opponent runs an ad calling her a cannibal. So, you know, somewhere this is a rumor, or it's leaked somehow, or maybe it's just what people assume. Although, why would you assume that? They're in the woods, there's wildlife out there. But somehow that's a thing, and we don't know how it became a thing.
Yeah. The attack ad has this really gruesome photo of her, like, chowing down on a big piece of meat. It's pretty upsetting. Yeah.
Any other notes, Daphne?
Nope, that's pretty much all I had.
I think that that's it for me as well. All right, we can move into episode four, which is called Bear Down. Penny, you want to read the synopsis?
So the group finds a gun in the cabin that they found and plentiful supply of ammo. And they experiment with shooting and they do some trials. And it turns out Natalie and Travis prove to be the best suited to handle the firearm. So they are sent out to hunt for food and they catch a deer after the harrowing experience of recovering a keepsake ring from the buried body of the coach, Travis's father.
Oh, man.
And they bond while they're hunting, and because Natalie helps Travis get the ring from his father's finger. And then in a flashback, we get to see Natalie's home life, and it's revealed that her father died in a gun discharge accident. It's also revealed that her father is abusive and cruel. And that Natalie's mother doesn't seem to be too with it. The rest of the group finds a functional propeller jet. Oh, I forgot about this part. And Van and Jackie are nearly killed by it. And Jackie actually saves Van's life. Shauna starts bonding with Javi. And then in 2021, Natalie meets up with Kevin, who's a police officer now and was her best friend prior to the crash. And she uses his affection pretty blatantly to get him to dig into Travis's murder for her. Thaisa, who is shown to be unable to control her alcohol use, rejects an endorsement for her political campaign from a powerful elite who tries to probe into her past. Shauna and Adam begin an intimate affair with a crazy knight enacting Shauna's missed teen fantasies, while Adam is shown to probe for personal information on her. Misty has an encounter with the fake journalist while shadowing Nat and Kevin. Misty calls Shauna to tell her that Travis is dead.
All right. Daphne, you have a point for this one?
All right. So my first point is Natalie's tragic past. We see Natalie, when we first meet her in the present, she's, of course, at rehab. But you don't get to see a lot of her past, like her home life, until this episode. And when you do, it's hard not to look at her and just feel sorry and sad that this was her home life. I mean, she's in the bedroom with Kevin, and all they're doing is talking about music when her father gets home and completely goes off the rails, thinking that they're having sex when they're not. I mean, it's very obvious that they're not. And we really get to see Natalie has a lot of resilience to be able to overcome the home life. But it also shows how complex she is, because she overcame her childhood. She overcame being out in the wilderness and everything that happened. But she still has a lot of demons, thus going to rehab and trying to, you know, overcome the demons. I'm not sure if she will completely overcome or get past them all. But I think we definitely got some answers as far as why Natalie may have needed to go to rehab, because she has had to overcome so many different things. And I feel like it just shows that she's not perfect, not that she ever was, but that's not the word I'm really looking for. It just shows that there's a lot of layers to her, and we haven't seen them all yet. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more, and we may like them or we may not like what we see, depending on which side she chose to be on out in the wilderness.
She definitely has a terrible childhood. She's a victim of abuse. She's watched her mother be abused. Maybe other things we don't know about. She's living in poverty. And then she has to deal with her dad, you know, being killed in front of her. And I think that's what she says to Travis. Even if they're shitty, they still wreck you when they're gone.
I was worried in that scene that maybe Natalie was going to accidentally shoot him.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Because we saw at the beginning, she is on the plane and she had this dream or flashback or some sort of weird experience where she's on the plane and sees her father and he turns to her and there's a hole in his head. And so I knew that the gun must have got him straight on. So I was concerned that she actually shot him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see that it was an accident where he tripped.
And even the way her mother treats her as grown-up Natalie is just heartbreaking.
It is.
I mean, her mother is just, you know, just as bad as it gets, I guess.
Yeah. When Natalie goes to see her mother and she goes in and gets the one most important thing, and it was the tape that Kevin gave her. It's like, this is the only important thing in this room that I need. And you can tell, I mean, she and Kevin had Kevin was someone she could count on when she was a teenager. And she didn't have a lot of those people. She was mostly a loner. And even though she was on the soccer team, I never got the impression that she really clicked with everyone else.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that she hasn't really connected with a lot of people. And so now they're out in the wilderness and she is starting to bond a little bit with Travis.
Yeah. My point for this episode was Thaisa is basically blackmailed by another politician, someone she needs an endorsement from, in exchange for telling her story. And this actually made me feel a lot of empathy for Thaisa, and Thaisa quickly gets her back up and tells her to go fuck herself. But it got me to thinking that probably all of them have been asked this question over and over again for the past 25 years. And mm-hmm. It's people that want to profit off of them, or, you know, they just want the salacious details for themselves, you know, or, you know, people that think they have a right to these people's private stories. And it kind of made me angry for them, as much as obviously something bad has happened here. It made me sorry for people that have been in these situations, that people think they have some kind of ownership over them. And that just made me sad for all of them. Penny, what's your next point?
Yeah, they're all at a campfire at one point, and assistant coach Ben gets up. He has like a crutch and he's trying to, I think he has to go to the bathroom or something or get a drink. and Misty full on trips him. I didn't understand her motivation in the moment, but she just like made him face plant.
Yeah, I saw that. And I think he did too.
She
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, she's already shown herself to be unhinged, but up to this point, I thought she was into Ben enough that she was going to be like continue to be nurturing to him. Like she was really nurturing to him when he had his meltdown. You know, she sort of forced herself on him, but it helped him in the long run. And then to trip him like that, I didn't know where it was coming from. And it made me like even more like suspicious that Misty is up to more than we think she is.
She's a regular Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
She is. Oh my gosh. That connection right there. I totally
yeah,
see it.
She seems to thrive on being involved in these intimate details, like him having a bowel movement and him eating. And, you know, she's like thriving on that humiliation. And I don't know. I just keep coming back to unhinged.
This may be what pushed her to be a nurse, because this may be where she really got to see, well, I can be involved in these things and I find a lot of joy and happiness in it. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's twisted. Daphne, your next point?
Okay, so my next point is we get to see Natalie and Kevin interact a little bit. And it's pretty obvious that Kevin still has a lot of feelings for her and is willing to do things for her, even if it goes against what he should be doing. And then Natalie, he tries to kiss her at one point, and she kind of rebuffs him a little bit. Then she finally gives him a kiss when she's getting into the car. And I started to think, so she's giving him a cookie to keep him interested, to help her with what she needs to get all of the, you know, the background information and everything about Travis's murder. And so I feel like she's using those feminine wiles to keep him interested enough so that she gets what she wants.
And she didn't seem interested in him at all until she found out he was a detective.
Yeah.
Like in the first episode, he comes up and she just blows him off completely. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's kind of sad for Kevin.
I know, because he seems like such a nice guy. But he did back then. I mean, they were in the mm-hmm. same friend group and everything. And even though, you know, it was him and can't remember the name of their other friend, I still think that Natalie was the leader of that group mm-hmm. because she's the one throwing things at cars and, you know, getting into trouble. But I'm really interested in seeing if Natalie continues down this path with Kevin, or if she starts to feel anything, or if she's just going to string him along. Because, I mean, they were friends, but I feel like he was into her even when they were teenagers a bit, even though they weren't doing what her father thought they were doing. I feel like he really liked her.
Well, yeah, he did. I'm not sure if she did or not, but she admits that he was her best friend.
Yes, absolutely.
All I could think of is maybe there's just no space in her left for that, you know?
For that,
like maybe
yeah.
right now, all she has is thoughts of Travis.
Yep.
And so, yeah, she is using him. But maybe, not to defend her, but maybe that's just because all she has is space for trying to figure out what's happened.
Yeah. I think she thinks that the best way she can honor Travis or show how much she loved him is to find out what happened to him, because she doesn't believe that he killed himself. She thinks that he was murdered. And I can't remember, was it in this episode where she finds they find the notebook and she does the pencil tracing?
I think
and
that's it says, the next episode.
Oh, okay. I think it yeah. was.
I will take this up.
I think it was at the very end of the episode where they find his dead body.
Okay.
And the, okay. Yeah, it says, tell right. Nat she was right.
Yeah. Yes.
What was she right about?
I know, and now she's trying to figure out, well, yeah. What was I right about?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say to him? And you know they had a relationship when they were in the woods, but they also had one after. So
yeah.
Trying to figure out exactly what it is. I feel like we need an Excel sheet or some sort of database to collect all of our thoughts and all of these little tidbits and have it spit something out at the end that perfectly nails exactly what's happening. Instead, we're just going to have to watch every week, take some notes, and try to piece this all together.
Yeah. Penny, other notes on this episode?
Yeah. So after Nat and Travis bring back the deer to the campsite, Shauna volunteers to cut the deer's throat and bleed it, and then they cook it. And then there are these intense close-ups again of all the girls eating the deer meat and, like, licking their fingers and, like, you know, the grease is all over their faces. It's very visceral. And it's clearly meant to foreshadow or call back to the implied cannibalism from the first episode.
And the noises and the visuals are intense.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all smacking their lips and They're very excited to have food because all of them are hungry.
Right.
It was intense.
And the showrunners gave us so much in that first episode where we got to see all of that. And that was just a glimpse into it that now, whenever we see anything that remotely connects us back to that initial scene, we just go right there. And It makes it more visceral. It just makes you, it's more intense because you realize where they went.
I had a small point about this episode. Travis is really angry in this episode. And at one point, he swings around and points a loaded rifle at Nat. And then Ben is like, hey, don't do that. But yeah, you're going to be our hunter.
I know. I found that really strange that you would send the two of them off together, despite the fact they were both the best shots.
Right.
But he did point the gun at her.
Yeah, a loaded gun, which is like, you know, that's number one gun rule.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. And so, like, you know, great job, Ben. Doing good there. I just thought that was really bad.
Ben is doing the best he can. He's under a lot of stress.
Yeah. I did find it interesting that Natalie at first doesn't want to shoot the gun because she's reminded of what happened with her dad. But then she just gets pissed off. And a pissed off Natalie you do not want to mess with. Because she just picked up that gun and that was it. I knew it. When she picked up the gun the second time, it's like she's going to nail it. It's going to happen. For sure.
It was very satisfying.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked seeing her kind of get the one up on everyone else. Because I feel like she gets overlooked because of her background. There was one other thing we didn't talk about in this episode, really, was Shauna and Adam running around acting like teenagers. When Shauna was asking the guy to buy her beer, I just questioned, am I really seeing this?
It was funny.
Is this
I thought it was
what's
funny.
Happening?
Yeah, I loved it.
I thought Shauna was showing more, like, joy and more having fun than we've seen up until this point.
Yeah, and when the guy was like, is this a sex thing? And she's like, maybe.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah.
And she's quick. You know, she's got a quick wit. And she was putting makeup on, thinking about Adam. And, like, we saw her, like, having more joy in this episode than we've seen before.
Definitely. Definitely. It was really entertaining to watch her. I mean, even from getting into the back of his truck and getting it on, it's like stuff that teenagers would do. Like, mm-hmm. she really was reliving those, or actually living the memories she didn't really get to have. Because she, I mean, I'm sure, we haven't seen everything that happened, but I'm sure them coming back from the woods, they certainly had grown up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, she was supposed to go to college and spend 4 years in college, and instead she went there and then came back this celebrity, the kind of celebrity you don't want to be, and yeah, she missed out on a lot, and I'm sure she went through a lot.
Yeah.
Any other notes on episode 4?
Nope, that is all that I have.
All right. Next one is the last episode we have called Blood Hive. Daphne, you want to give us the synopsis for that one?
Definitely. The title for this episode, I kept trying to think, what on earth are they talking about? And then, I believe it was Travis that had the line calling it a blood hive. And then it made perfect sense.
I'm always trying to think about the titles, like Bear Down, I was certain would have something to do with a bear.
Yeah. Yeah, no. No. Okay, so Lottie has not been taking her medication to combat her schizophrenia. Love is in the air as Thaisa and Van make out and Natalie and Travis kiss in the woods. The group holds a seance in the attic where Lottie becomes possessed by an evil spirit. The assistant coach is poisoned by Misty but does not die. He tells Misty that he has feelings for her. I don't know about that. Shauna tells Thaisa that she is pregnant. In 2021, Thaisa finds the word spill written on the front door of her home in red paint. She confronts Sammy after discovering a container of the same paint in his room. Sammy denies doing so and blames the lady in the tree. Later, Thaisa contemplates dropping out of the Senate race but decides not to. Shauna attends a Halloween party where her daughter Callie learns about Adam. The following day, Callie is unsuccessful in blackmailing Shauna. Natalie and Misty gain access to Kevin's files, and they learn that a ritual was held where Travis was murdered. Natalie shows Thaisa the ritual photos, while Misty watches them through the hidden camera. To her surprise, Natalie and Thaisa call Shauna for help. A lot. This episode is probably my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. Give us your first point.
Okay. First of all, this is where we get confirmation that Jackie died, because Callie at the Halloween party is wearing a soccer uniform, but it is not Shauna's. It's actually Jackie's that Jackie's family gave to Shauna on Jackie's 40th birthday. So we have that. We have Callie wearing the uniform.
Which is awful, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, Shauna, they're at the party and Shauna is looking and sees Jackie. Like, she thinks she sees Jackie. Right. And then all of a sudden, the girl turns around, it's her daughter. And, I mean, Shauna doesn't even flinch. Here she is out with her boy toy. At this Halloween party.
Yeah.
And Callie is seeing that her mother is out with another man. And Shauna's just really not. She's like, okay, we're leaving. Do you need a ride? Nope. And she just takes Callie and goes. And then they have this bonding moment where I feel like Callie and Shauna were actually getting to a common place. And then the next morning, Shauna shows us what she's really made of when Callie tries to blackmail her.
I loved this part.
Yeah, it was so satisfying.
One of my favorite scenes.
Yeah. Being a survivor of teenage daughters myself, I really got a lot out of this. I was like, yes, Shauna!
She basically shuts her dad and then calls her husband in saying, oh, Jeff, Callie has something to tell you.
Totally calls her bluff.
Yep. And basically, Callie has to admit admit a few things that help Jeff understand that she does need maybe some ground rules and some parenting, which I don't think had been happening so much. He seemed more lenient with her. And Shauna was trying to get the reins, you know, get things, get her reined in, but it just wasn't happening.
It really shows what a master manipulator Shauna is.
It does. But you know something else that I found interesting is even though Callie saw what that Shauna was out with Adam, Shauna could have talked about Jeff and his secret with Bianca, saying, well, your father was out last week with Bianca. But she doesn't. She keeps that secret. She keeps Jeff's secret and doesn't want Callie's judge. I don't know if she's trying to protect
I think Jeff. She still loves Callie. Callie just thought that they had come to a place where they were just going to be girlfriends. And Shauna just shut that down and's like, I'm your mother. No, we're not doing this.
And the way she did it. I feel
like Shauna's more.
Shauna doesn't flinch. She's like, oh, no. Honey, that's adorable. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
It's great.
And she tells her, the way she tells her all the things that will happen, well, you tell your dad and we get a divorce and you get to go do this and this is how it's going to be. And then he's going to ask you for dating advice. And I mean, Callie starts to look horrified.
Yep, it's awesome. It's so good.
I think in that moment, Shauna became the parent again. I think she... Before, Callie had been walking all over her. I don't think so anymore. I think Shauna has control. I think she's the queen of the house again.
Yep. How about your next point, Penny?
So during the seance, when Lottie starts, you know, channeling or being possessed or whatever's going on, she starts speaking in French, which apparently she doesn't speak French, and everyone's freaking out and yelling. And Laura Lee runs up to the attic and tries to do an exorcism. She's like, the power of Christ compels you, and it's not working. And then she literally just throws her Bible at Lottie. It was so funny, and I was so unprepared for it. It was... maybe my favorite moment of the whole episode, although Ty and Van making out is a close tie.
And I think this is another place where you could say, is this something that's happened supernaturally? Or is this that her medication has run out and this is her schizophrenia coming through? And I think we have these moments that they don't really want us to know for certain.
Yeah, not yet.
Right.
I feel like we're going to find out when they want us to find out, but they don't want us to definitively know now.
Right.
They want us to still be speculating.
Yes.
It's part of the excitement and buzz around this show is the fact that they're giving you the buzz. They're giving you what you need to know to stay interested, and then they give you a little more. And so when I watch this show now, I just think, what am I going to learn tonight? What are they going to tell me tonight? Because I feel like in every episode, a little more has been revealed. And I get excited about shows like that.
Yeah, me too.
When you can count on it, you can count on good writing and good character building and development.
And it's constantly surprising.
Yeah.
My next point is Fatal Attraction. Misty and Ben, the love story.
Oh, goodness.
So Misty obviously has a thing for Ben and finally reveals it here. She has no understanding of boundaries. She has no social cues in or out of the wilderness. She sees his erection while he's sleeping, and it seems as if she's going for it. When he wakes up and freaks out, then she poisons him. And I don't think she was trying to kill him.
Mm-mm.
No.
And he realizes that she poisoned him. And then he kind of has this bizarre conversation with her where he reveals that he has feelings for her but won't allow himself to act on it because she's a minor. Is he bullshitting her here?
I would not bullshit Misty. I would be terrified. She just poisoned him. I wonder if she's doing it to placate, if he's doing it to placate her, thinking if I tell her this, maybe she'll back off a little bit.
He's trying to manage the situation, but I think he's out of his league.
Yeah. I got the sense that this has happened to him before, that teenage girls have, you know, who he is a coach for, have had crushes on him, and he used this tactic before and it worked. But Misty is not normal.
No.
Yeah.
No, there are several of my friends that watch the show that think that poor Ben is going to be one of the first to go.
Yeah, I think that's been common in the threads that we've had going between all of us. I think he realizes he's in a vulnerable position and she's kind of in a position of power over him right now.
Yeah.
But I don't think this tactic is a good tactic to take.
No.
No, it's going to backfire big
Me
time.
Me either.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's going to cost him more than his leg, I think. In the end, it's going to cost, I think it could cost him his life because she's, at this point, he's kind of a liability to the group because they can all get anywhere. And he can't unless they bring him. Carry him, assist him. So he's really stuck.
All right. Daphne, your next point?
Okay, so my next point is the move of the necklace. In this episode, we see Shauna giving Jackie her necklace back. But in addition, we also see Shauna have a pep talk for Jackie. Because we saw more of Jackie's privileged life. Like, she doesn't know how to do what all of those girls are doing because she had people that did it for her. So she has never had to, quote, rough it anywhere. So she really doesn't know. She's out of her depth. She's not sure, you know, what to do or how to help. Because I think it was Mari who told her she needed to, why don't you go get water? Because they felt like people were just starting to stare at her, thinking that she wasn't doing enough to help around camp. And so she went to get the water, and that was a struggle. Like, she might be a decent soccer player, but she's not super strong as far as bringing that water back to camp.
She's not adapting to her new circumstances as well as the other kids.
Mm-mm.
She's really losing her place as the leader of the group.
She is.
She can't shoot.
No.
She abandoned Vanessa. You can see that she tries to come up with something, which is to have the seance, and that didn't go real well.
No.
She's not doing well.
Yeah, it's a struggle. Even if you look at the clothes that they're all wearing, she's still dressing in nicer clothes.
Yeah, and like putting on makeup and stuff.
Yeah. And everyone else is just kind of like, okay, well, let's just get dressed. Like, there's not a process right now. It's just, let's get dressed. You can't, I mean, what are you going to do? You're out in the woods. You're trapped in the middle of nowhere. And she's still, well, I think she probably thinks they're going to be rescued.
Yeah, she's waiting. She's still waiting for the rescue to happen.
Which is not going to come thanks to Misty. Or when it does come, it's going to be a lot later.
All right. Penny?
So this episode, one of the reasons I liked it so much is it felt like we got to take a breath a little bit. There were some quieter moments, a lot less disgusting smashed legs and things like that. They had that dance number at the beginning that was really fun and silly.
That was fun.
And then, you know, Ty and Van making out and Nat and Travis making out. There was just a lot of character growth and other moments. And I really appreciated it after the intensity of the other four episodes to have a moment of like sort of settling into the new reality and letting it simmer a little bit.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I have a feeling the time's going to come where we're not going to get those little moments of happiness and levity. We're going to get much more intense.
Yeah, there's not a lot situations. Of light parts of this show. Yeah.
No. Happy for whenever we get something that's a little lighter.
My next point, it's not much to it, but I think it needs to be talked about, is that Shauna is pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Obviously, Jeff's baby.
Yes.
Obviously.
Evidently.
She doesn't bring the baby back with her because her daughter is 18, and this was 25 years ago, or 17, her daughter is.
19.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her, it was like 19 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that she brought a baby home from the wilderness. I mean, yeah.
You know, her and Jackie are BFFs, and Jackie thinks she knows everything about Shauna, and Jackie certainly doesn't know that she's screwing Jeff, and thinks that, you know, Shauna has told Jackie that she's a virgin. Or Jackie assumed it anyway.
Yeah. I wonder about that. I think Jackie assumes she's a virgin. There are two prongs to this. One, she's not a virgin and she's having a baby. And two, the baby is Jeff's.
Yeah.
And she's actively hiding it at this point because all the other girls, their periods all sync up, which is why this episode's called Blood Hive. And Shauna pretends that she's getting her period as well.
And Thaisa sees her. Yeah. But I still think that was kind of a big leap for Thaisa to see that and then say, you're pregnant.
Yeah. I wonder about that, too.
I thought it was a
bit
of a leap, but I can't wait for the next episode to see what happens.
I know. I want to know. I want to know.
Only 5 more days.
Any other notes?
Again, this ties to the seance and Lottie. Are we starting to see her schizophrenia, or was she really possessed? I mean, two things. Based on what I think it was Penny said earlier about the symptoms of schizophrenia, I'm thinking it could be either. It could be mm-hmm. both. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Questions. There's so many questions.
My question is, who painted Thaisa's door? Is that the same person who's sending the postcards? Was it Sammy? Was it the lady that Sammy sees?
I don't think it could be Sammy.
My husband thinks Thaisa's wife is like a plant. I think that's kind of outrageous because that would be a really long plant because Sammy seems like he's 5, so they've probably been together for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's a long plant, but you know, he loves the outrageous theories. So
yeah, it's a good one. I like that theory.
Yeah.
I don't think Sammy could have painted that. It was, first of all, it was at eye level for Thaisa and Sammy's little.
Yep.
And it was pretty neat. Mm-hmm. And he's 5.
And why would he write spill? Why would he?
Yeah.
What would that mean to him? Yeah.
Wait, you have to think about this. And this goes back to what I said about 5 people that we saw alive. We haven't seen any others. We know some people died. You know that they have family. So you have to question, could whoever is doing this, it could be someone who survived, who knows what everyone did. Mm-hmm. And wants them to tell the story. Doesn't want to tell it themselves, but wants them to tell the story. It could be family members who believe that something bad happened out in the woods. And that's why their child didn't come back. Because what I'm guessing, and I'm not sure if this is true, I've not read this anywhere, is that when they did get rescued or they did make their way back, I'm not sure that they ever would have told that people didn't just die in the crash. I don't think they would have said, oh, yeah, they died like a month into it. I have a feeling that anyone they were responsible for killing, they probably would tell them that they just died in the crash instead of telling the truth. Because they're not going to tell what they did. Whoever it was that was running at the beginning, they're not going to tell anyone that they ate her.
No.
They're not. So, everyone knows something. And you just have to wonder, did someone, as they got older, get a conscience and say, you know what, this isn't okay? And then start talking to a person who just basically decided, okay, well, that's not what they told me. Is this the truth? Okay, well, I'm going to punish them. And then they start doing this. There's just a bunch of different options. And until we find out who else came back, I mean, Misty seems like someone who would do something like this because it's very manipulative. And she also is very cunning and understanding of what happened out there. So she would know which buttons to push with everyone.
The only thing that makes me think it wouldn't be Misty is that Misty has as much to lose as they do. She was obviously part of it. So
it's the only one we know.
Right. So she probably wouldn't want that information to come out either. But we don't know what motivations there are out there. And
yeah.
Any other notes on this episode? I think, Penny, you said something about Vanessa and Ty, Thaisa.
Yeah. I just love them as a couple. You know, we picked up on a vibe between them in the first or second episode. Thaisa was running around going, Van, Van, until she found her. And then, you know, they have this huge hug. I was like, come on, get together, get together. And then their makeout scene made it seem like this is an existing relationship.
That's what I was wondering. Do you think that was before the plane trip?
Yeah, because the way they're like, oh, finally, like, we're alone together.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been a couple for a while.
I feel like they're, during one of the soccer games, early on, there was an exchange of glances between them that kind of led me to believe that something might be happening between them.
Who do you think... Do you think the symbol that we see on the tree, do you think that was there before they got there?
I do. I feel like we see it after the plane crash. We see it already there. So I feel like it was already there.
Yeah. And it's just come to symbolize something.
Yeah.
I keep something wondering.
Different. It doesn't have to be what originally it meant, but it means something to them.
Yeah.
I keep wondering.
They built it into something.
If there's somebody else in these woods with them that they haven't met yet, and that symbol means something to that person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe somebody's hunting them. So many questions. The only other note I had was the show is definitely in the league of shows that dare to go to the places that most shows don't have the balls to go. You know, that one of the very first scenes is Shauna masturbating in her daughter's bed. And then it skips to her cleaning her husband's skid marks out of his underwear. Like, you get it right there that this is not going to be a CW show.
They're not holding back at all.
Yeah.
They are not holding back. And I'm grateful for that. Yeah. I'm grateful that Showtime is doing this show.
Yeah, me too.
Because I feel like we're really going to get it to the extreme level that it should be told.
Yeah.
And I think you said that earlier, Wendy, is we're going to get it the way it should be.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that so much.
I agree. I'm excited to see what happens. Anything else before we move on?
So I came up with a couple of questions that I'm hoping that we get answers to at some point. One, did anyone else survive the crash beyond the five? I'm quite sure they did. It's kind of been alluded to. But who the heck is the leader? Who is the one with the antlers?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think it's Thaisa.
So when they find the cabin, there's this one shot where Shauna like strokes some antlers on the wall. And I thought that might be foreshadowing.
Hmm.
I don't know.
No, I think that's good.
I wonder about it being Shauna because mm-hmm. when she had that interaction with Thaisa when they were sitting down at the table, she kind of got a little bossy, like, take uh-huh. care of this.
Yep. And we agreed to this certain thing.
Yeah.
And then I also thought it could be Travis or Natalie because they're the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we know it's not Misty, mm-hmm. but other than that, we don't know.
Yeah.
It could be anybody.
I have such a hard time trying to see Natalie doing it, like mm-hmm. being the leader. I feel mm-hmm. like Thaisa and Shauna fit what I'm thinking the leader is. I don't think it's Jackie because I think Jackie is too kind. Like, I don't see her being okay with this sort of cannibalistic culture.
I don't think
it's
Jackie.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great surprise, though.
It would.
Yeah.
It would be a huge surprise.
Yeah.
And then I'd really want to see, how did we get there? Because I don't see her. There are people that I see, like I don't see Lottie. Don't see Laura Lee, either of them. We know it's not Misty. I have trouble trying to figure out. And then the other big question, what caused the split? Because I'm wondering if it is somehow connected to Shauna being pregnant. And if the truth comes out. And if that drives a wedge between the two groups. And at that point, do they just decide no one's coming for them, so they're going to make a life of their own? Because it seems a little strange to me. I mean, because we're not talking about a desert island, a deserted island or whatever.
Right.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the wilderness. We're talking about, you know, a place that they could be found by anyone at some point, whether it's 1 year or 4 years. I mean, you would think they would be found. So what caused the split and put them into this mode and drove them to this new world order that they put together for themselves? There's so many questions, but those are my main questions. That's what I'm trying to piece together in my head, as well as who the others are in this group.
Yeah, my biggest questions are, who are the others that they haven't seen a sign of in several months?
Yeah.
From that first episode, and how does Shauna and Jeff end up married?
Yeah. I mean, we could find out in the next episode, but I don't think we will, because I don't think we're going to see any scenes about them, like, coming home from the wilderness yet. I think that's going to be further down the road. I think what we're going to get, I'm not even sure, because I haven't even read a synopsis yet about the next episode. I saw a few glimpses in, you know, the next week on piece at the end, but it's never enough. It just gets me excited to watch it.
I did see somebody on YouTube broke down the intro and broke it down. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw and broke it down like scene by scene by scene. Like, people are obsessed.
They are. I love it, though. I
don't like that intro. It's difficult to watch. I don't like the jumpy version of it. I don't know.
It's so 90s.
It is so 90s. It's like it's like a tape that's been recorded over like three or four times, and it always shows glimpses like of what was on it before.
Yeah.
At least that's what I see when I watch it.
Yep.
So I kind of like it, but I'm going to have to watch that, Wendy, because I want to know what we're missing.
Yeah. There's people that have broken down that every scene of that intro, because there's scenes in there that we haven't seen yet.
Ooh, okay. Then I'm definitely going to watch it. I want to know.
Yeah. There's definitely a shot of like smoldering adult Travis in the mix.
Ooh, okay.
Well, Natalie, at one point when she's in his house, she sees something and looks in the mirror and she sees like adult Travis just like standing there and then turns around and sees nothing. So, you know, that's the most we saw of adult Travis.
Yeah. It's disappointing.
All right. We'll take a break. There's more to come and stay with us. For you, I think you're hot. I think you're cool. You're the kind of guy I'd stalk in school. But now that I'm famous, you're up my anus. Now I'm going to eat you, fool. I eat boys up, breakfast and lunch. Then when I'm thirsty, I drink their blood. Carnivore animal, I am a cannibal. I eat boys up, you better run. All right, blister feedback. I'll go first. Christy Coppage says, Misty be crazy.
Short, sweet, and simple. Agree.
And true.
So true. Amelie Rochette says, I really enjoyed this show. It was a nice surprise to see Sophie Nalisse in it. She's a Frenchie from Montreal, too. All of the actors are great. I'm really curious to see where this is going. I have no idea. We're trying to piece it together, Amelie.
Kat Kraft says, two things. The music, heart emoji, and I have to agree with her. And yes, Travis is hot.
Yeah, today somebody was talking about there's already playlists out for the series, all the 90s music, so I'll have to look into that as well. Maybe I'll post it to the group when I find something. I'll post the playlist to the Podcastica group.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Jason Kabasi says, another great episode. I still think all the nods towards there being something supernatural are red herrings. It's all explainable by non-supernatural means. Or maybe this is the kind of show that wants it to keep it open-ended so you never know which it is. I think that's true. I think it doesn't want us to know yet.
I don't think it does either. I think they've got a timeline and they're going to stick to it. And I'm happy that everyone is sleuthing about it because, we want to find out what's going to happen. But I hope no one goes and, like, does something crazy, like hacking into things. I want to know in the order that they want to tell us, the storytellers. I'm not really big into spoilers for this show. I mean, yes, if you're going to tell me everything and I can watch it all unfold all at once in one big series, fine. But I don't really need anyone to tell me anything. Yeah,
they're doing a great job telling the story. It's super compelling. I want to see how it unfolds the way they intended.
Yes, absolutely. Christine Barlong says, love the 90s music and references. We do too. It's fantastic. We do have one call. Penny, you want to let our listeners know who called in this week?
You'll all be excited to hear that it was Steve Brown.
It's an official Podcastica podcast now.
Here we go.
Hello, Daphne, Wendy, and welcome, Penny, to the Podcastica family. This is Steve. This is for Yellow Jackets, episodes 1-5. Wow, such an amazing series. I'm so glad. I saw it and got recommended to it. I mean, I saw a few weeks ago before it started. I think I kind of like was like, maybe it might be interesting. But I'm hooked, man. I watched binged the first three episodes, and in the last 2 weeks, I've watched 4 and 5. Wow. So good. This evening, we did a little watch party for episode 5 and kind of talked about it. So it's just amazing. I'm loving the mystery. I have no clue what's going on in some of it, but hey, that's okay. because that's what we're here for, right? I mean, I'm not even podcasting about this show, and I'm watching it twice sometimes. And I want to go back and rewatch episode one now just after the conversation tonight because there's things that I missed, and I may do that. I may binge all five of them again before episode six next week, which I will try to live Steve maybe if I can and send it to you. But I'm really glad that somebody's going to be podcasting on the rest of the season of this show. I hope we get a season two. I'm not sure. I think I heard that it was already picked up for season two. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you guys know. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really excited, as you can tell, and we'll love to hear what you guys have to say about it. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Steve.
That's awesome.
He sounded really giddy.
Yeah.
I think he is. I'm really excited that this show has quickly become a focus point for our group. And
yeah,
we're just talking about it and coming up with theories and just enjoying a well-cast, well-written show.
Gripping. It like grabs you. It doesn't let go.
Yeah. I feel like if you watch the first episode, like we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier, if you watch that first episode, you're going to be hooked mm-hmm. because it's all there. They give you so much in the first episode.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was explaining it to somebody today that had no idea. And I was like, well, it's a teenage soccer team that becomes cannibals. Like, how could it be wrong?
There's so much more to it than that too, right?
I know.
Yeah. So much more.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to write in or record a message and send it in, you can email it to talk@podcastica.com.
You can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/podcastica.
We're also on Twitter at podcastica.
And what other shows is everybody doing right now? What are you doing on Run for Your Lives, Daph?
Okay, so this week we are doing another of Pig's favorites. It's been very busy on Strange Indeed with Rima covering Dexter and Lock and Key. So we've been revisiting some of his favorite movies that fit into our genre. So we are doing our first animated feature film, Paranorman, which I had never seen. But
I've never seen that one.
Yeah. I'm not gonna spoil it and let you know what I thought. However, we did record the episode. It will be out on Friday like usual.
Great. And I know on House Podcastica, I'm also doing Wheel of Time with Greg and Ben. We just had a guest host, Greg's friend Eric, because Ben couldn't be on this week. And I'm really liking that show a lot. It is stunning visually. It's beautiful. And I'm really liking that. It's a little bit of a slower burn, I would say, than some other things. But I really think it's worth watching. And I think, I'm sure not everybody, but I think book lovers, I've never read the books, but I think book lovers are really happy with the adaption. So after this, we'll be doing an episode-by-episode coverage of Yellow Jackets. Next time, we'll be covering Yellow Jackets Season 1, Episode 6, Saints. And that makes me think of a little scene that Jackie and Shauna had where she said, "Remember when you wanted to be a Catholic?" And Shauna said, "I love the saints."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good callback.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking
That's
forward to that.
That's what that makes me think of right away. Yeah. All right. Well, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Buzz, 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 buzz.